My name is Greg Sass, and I am the director of the Illinois River Biological Station.
Greg, I guess let's start with action that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service took this week. Explain maybe briefly what it was exactly that they decided.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided to place silver carp as an injurious species in the United States, which disallows transport across state lines as live fish and only under permit for research purposes.
Now, is the silver carp one of the species that's already wreaking havoc in the Mississippi River, Illinois River system?
That is correct. Silver carp originally came from Arkansas from aquaculture ponds and have worked their way up the Mississippi River system. They've gotten into the Missouri River, the Ohio River, and they're moving their way up the Illinois River towards the Great Lakes.
Given all of that, is this sort of closing the barn door after the horse has already gotten out?
To a certain extent. I mean, the spread has already occurred to an extent, but we always need to think forward about how many other places around this country that these carp can also spread to. So the Illinois River and the Mississippi River aren't the only habitats that can support these species, so I think it's a crucial step in preventing transport to other places.
I want to get to the Great Lakes in a minute, but is there potential, it seems far-fetched, but is there potential for these species to become established, for example, in Wisconsin's inland lakes?
It's possible they might become established or could actually reside in Wisconsin inland lakes. We're uncertain at this point if they can reproduce in lakes. It seems that they might need flowing water in order to complete their life history in order to reproduce. So additional research is being done on that right now.
Let's talk now about the potential impact on the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes fisheries. Worst case scenario, and given that there are already so many different exotic species within the lake, how badly could the carp species impact the Great Lakes?
In worst case scenario, silver carp and bighead carp are kind of the ultimate invaders. They grow to very large sizes very quickly, and they also feed at the bottom of the food web. So if they were able to survive in the Great Lakes and reproduce, the real catastrophe would be cutting off the bottom of the food chain, so disallowing plankton resources to get to a lot of our other native fishes in the system, and also not having predators out there that could eat them at the large sizes they could reach.
And how large can they get?
The largest bighead carp taken in the United States, I believe, was 94 pounds, and silver carp are routinely caught potentially 40 to 50 pounds.
That makes them the biggest fish in the river systems, doesn't it? Catfish don't get that big, do they?
Only blue catfish and some flathead catfish can reach those sizes. Sturgeon have been known to get that large, but they're making bighead and silver carp are pretty much the largest fish we have out there on average now.
And let me ask you what they are doing. What impact are they having on those native fish populations in the river?
In the Illinois River in particular, we've seen an explosion of silver carp and bighead carp since about the year 2000, and we have very good evidence that there's been some potential competition between bighead and silver carp and some of our native planktivores, gizzard shad and bigmouth buffalo. So we've seen statistically significant declines in body condition of gizzard shad and bigmouth buffalo after the Asian carp showed up, which is suggesting there may be some prey limitation and that the Asian carps are competitively superior over our native planktivores.
Now, there's not a lot of commercial fishing on the Mississippi River, and I don't know, I'm assuming the same is true on the Illinois River, but is there any sort of upside in terms of anything that that we can do with these fish? I mean, you know, are they a fishable resource, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Absolutely. There's actually quite a bit of commercial fishing that takes place on the Mississippi and the Illinois River. Right now, there's just not a large market for the Asian carps. Their flesh is actually very good. That protein probably fuels three-quarters of the world's protein source, just not in the United States. So right now we're feverishly trying to develop markets for these fishes. Right now those markets are small, but we think that this is probably the most viable way of controlling these species because what we can do by creating markets is not only get fishermen out there that are earning some money, we can also reduce Asian carp abundances, which should have some positive effects or release some of the negative effects on our native planktivores and species in the rivers.
I've had it smoked before. It's not bad that way.
No, it's really not that bad to eat at all. In our area here in Havana, Illinois, scored buffalo is a delicacy, basically, and scored silver carp is just as good or better.
Now, one of my colleagues is just going at the thought of eating carp, but well, we'll see. Greg, I think I've got enough to work with. Anything else? Oh, the ship canal. Now, let me make sure I understand where things are at. They are needing to do additional testing before activation because there are some safety issues?
That's correct. Apparently, a barge passed through and there was a large spark or an arc created, and so they're testing that right now just for safety reasons for people. The current status of the barrier is the demonstration barrier is still working, but it's at the end of its life expectancy, and it's costing a lot to keep in operation and repair. The more permanent barrier, which is composed of two different barriers, the first one is undergoing testing right now, and the second one currently does not have the funding to build it right now.
I actually read a quote from Joel Brammeyer with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, and he said this, he called the barrier desperately needed but already too little too late, temporary solution to a permanent problem that was created by building the canal in the first place.
That's a really interesting perspective. There has been some talk about actually closing down that connection between Lake Michigan and the Illinois River, which would ultimately prevent any species transfer in between. I think what we have right now with the electric barrier is we have a really proactive solution to buy us some more time and potentially keep these Asian carps out of the Great Lakes. So in contrast to something like sea lamprey, which we didn't try to figure out until there were already a large problem and already caused major problems for lake trout fisheries, for example, we've got a way to potentially prevent these species from getting in there, and I think that's of utmost importance.